Davis Side.
Spend the Davis Side.
From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. on Radio Side Thursday Live.
Radio Side Thursday Live.
Saram, dear listeners, and welcome once again to Vahini Satsang, our series where we spend our time ruminating on Bhagwan's precious writings. We started with Prema Vahini many weeks ago, and this journey trying to assimilate his teachings come directly from him through this beautiful volume of Prema Vahini continues. We have done till now 6 chapters of Prema Vahini. In the previous session, as we concluded the 4th paragraph, the last paragraph of chapter 6 of Prema Vahini, it ended on the note of Bhagwan asking us to not only recognize the difference between what is real and what is unreal, but also conduct our lives in a manner that demonstrate the assimilation of this knowledge into actual practice. And as we were discussing this, we realized that Bhagwan was actually leading on, preparing us for what was coming in the next chapter, chapter 7. So today we begin chapter 7. It will help us to understand and reflect more on what Bhagwan prepared us, what Bhagwan communicated to us in this 4 paragraphs of chapter 6. He was leading us on a step-by-step basis to what he wanted to convey to us in chapter 7. In chapter 6, it was that journey of preparation, of understanding of this beautiful philosophy, of this beautiful way of leading life, so that it is meaningful, it is purposeful. And by Bhagwan's grace, we have in the studios today 2 former students. Both of them were with us in the previous session, Brother Balram Chandran from Chennai and Brother Bhargav, who works here in Prashantinilam in the administrative block of Sri Sathya Sai Institute of Higher Learning. Both of them have had long years of proximity with Bhagwan and continue to serve his mission in various ways, one in Chennai and one in Prashantinilam. Really grateful to Bhagwan that he has sent us these 2 beautiful souls as we continue to drink in the nectar of Prema Vahini. So let's begin by listening to the first paragraph of chapter 7.
సద్గుణమే జ్ఞానము. జ్ఞానమనగా తెలుసుకొనుట అని చెప్పుదము. కేవలం బుద్ధితో తెలుసుకొనుట మాత్రమే కాదు, ముద్ద నోటియందు పెట్టుకున్ననే భోజనం చేసినట్లు కాదు, దానిని నోటియందు ఉంచుకొని నమలవలెను. అది గొంతు నుండి జఠరమునకు పోయి శరీరమునందెల్లా వ్యాపించును, దేహమును పుష్టివంతం చేయును. అప్పుడే అది నిజమైన భోజనమగును. అదే రీతిగా కేవలం బుద్ధిగత జ్ఞానము వలన ప్రయోజనం లేదు, అది జీవితమందెల్లనూ వ్యాపించవలను. ఆ జ్ఞానము చేతులు, కాళ్ళు, కన్నులు మొదలైన ఇంద్రియాల ద్వారా ప్రకటితము కావలెను. జ్ఞానేంద్రియములను, కర్మేంద్రియములను, సర్వకర్మలను వివేకంతో అనుష్ఠించు స్థితికి రావలెను. వట్టి పాండిత్యము జ్ఞానము అనబడదు. సద్గుణమునే నేను జ్ఞానమందును.
Premavahini, Chapter 7. We define jnana or wisdom as knowing. It is not mere knowing through the intellect. Eating does not mean placing the food near the mouth. It has to be put inside and chewed. Then from the throat it moves to the stomach and eventually spreads to the entire body. Only when it nourishes the body can it be called real food. Similarly, Wisdom at an intellectual level is of no use. It should permeate your life in entirety. This wisdom should express itself through your organs, be it your hands, legs or eyes. One needs to come to the stage where both the Karmendriyas and Gnanendriyas, the sense organs of action and perception, carry out their actions with discrimination. Mere scholarship cannot be called wisdom. I label only sadgunam or virtues as wisdom.
So that was very powerful, isn't it? Very clear.
Yeah.
The Swami is telling us that I label only that as wisdom when the virtue or your gunam translates into assimilated action in your real life practice.
Yeah, in fact, when I was reading this line yesterday, and interestingly, it's that time of the year in office where you're due for your performance appraisal. So, in fact, I'm supposed to, you know, due to have that discussion in Anita with my boss. And this, you know, you look at this in a way, all the Vahinis are treatises written by Swami, which communicates his expectation from a devotee. And, you know, I think somewhere logically, it becomes the basis for he appraising you as, you know, as in terms of how much progress you make on the path, his path.
Yes.
So he's very clear. He's saying that, see, you read my Vahini, you are able to explain it, you're able to theorize, you're able to, you know, have study circles on it. That is necessary, but that isn't sufficient. Ultimately, if you were to, you know, if you score marks in my eyes, then ultimately it has to translate into action, into virtuous action. So very, very clear. So which means Swami is going by observable behavior, actual action on the ground. Again, a continuation of what was said yesterday. So that's coming out very, very clearly.
Just to add to him, if you remember, as in this particular point, the main thing which he always stresses is sadgunam. He tells, I label only sadgunam. Whatever I tell, intellect, everything is fine.
Yes.
But sadgunam, virtues, is what I consider wisdom. So if you remember, Shirdi Sai Baba, he had only two dictums.
Yes.
Shraddha and Saburi.
Saburi.
And I feel, in this particular sadgunam, what he's talking about, I think these two fall very nicely into that slot. Shraddha, as we all know, is faith. I have faith in God. I have faith in Swami. Does it end it? No. He says that faith should be combined with patience. So now, today I have faith. Tomorrow also I have faith. Day after tomorrow there is a down in my life. Do I still have faith or not? So any testing time, any time of my life, whatever happens, that faith, that Shraddha should be as steady as it was when I was happy. So I feel that sadgunam, what I intuitively felt when I read this, is that you should have the faith in me and it should be there at all times, irrespective of what happens to you. You go through any phase in your life, do you have the same faith in me? Means there, subtly, the patience part comes, the saburi comes. Because we say, I have faith in God, I have faith in Swami, why having these problems? There you are losing the point.
Yes.
You are having the problems, there you should have faith. When you persevere with the same faith, even if you are in a downside of your life, there comes the patience. So basically, there are two sides of the same coin, I feel. That you should have faith, and combine it, you should have patience.
Yes.
So when you combine both of them together, then the surrender or wisdom or jnanam, I think it comes as a platter on to you.
Yes.
That's interesting you mentioned faith. And I think faith not just as an intellectual feeling, but as...
Yes.
And there has to be a specific manifestation of it in the form of action. So remember, brother, yesterday you brought off this beautiful point where Swami gave an instruction to a devotee saying, read the life of saints. So again, you know, two things come to mind, two examples come to mind, if I may share them.
Please.
One is again, if you... go back to one of the direct disciples of Ramakrishna, who is maybe not as well known as Vivekananda, but his name is Shashi Maharaj. His name was Ramakrishnananda.
Yes.
Swamiji named him Ramakrishnananda.
Took care of the Ramakrishna Mart in Chennai.
Chennai. In fact, yes, it was set up by him. And that's why, you know, I have familiarity with, you know, the place and the, you know, a little bit more familiarity on him as one of the direct disciples. So, you know, Swamiji named him Ramakrishnananda. In fact, he wanted that name for himself. Swami Vivekananda wanted the name for himself. But then he felt that Shashi Maharaj was more deserving of the name because really served the master. And for him, the master was real. So just one example of how, you know, faith can actually be real and not just a concept. So, you know, when the early days in that mutt, when, you know, the mutt was constructed, they had very limited funds. So the construction was actually substandard. So in Mylapore in Chennai. Yeah. So what I'm talking about the old mutt. So what happens is that often when it rains,
yes,
you know, the roof would leak and water would flow.
Yes.
Now what happens is that, and interestingly, the water would flow only on that particular part of the mutt, which is directly above Sri Ramakrishna's photo. In those days he had a photograph, they didn't have an idol. So it would fall on the master. Now, one of the disciples of Ramakrishnananda was surprised to find that one day when he woke up, he found Ramakrishnananda was not there in his bed. He went looking for the Swamiji and he found that the Swami was actually standing right next to the altar over Sri Ramakrishna's photograph and holding an umbrella, you know, so that the water does not fall on the master. Now the interesting thing is, there was no major leak in the other parts of the building. So all that Ramakrishnananda needed to have done is to just pick up the photo, move to a different place and go back to sleep. And remember, this is midnight.
Yes.
So then the disciple says, Maharaj, all that you have to do is move the photo. I mean, what's the point of standing there and holding the umbrella? But then without even batting an eyelid, Ramakrishnananda very, you know, in a very normal tone replies, saying that, no, I can't do that. Because if I move the photo, I'll end up disturbing the sleep of the master. Now look at this, this is beautiful. So, which means for him, and remember this was, there was nobody to observe him. See, by chance the disciple woke up, so this is not a stunt. Nobody would actually see it. For him it was real. So now that is real faith in action. You know, like Swami says, it can't be just an intellectual concept. No, just like food placed on the tongue. It needs to go, it needs to nourish. And ultimately it has to translate in the form of sat gunas and sat pravarti. You know, this is one. Second thing I remember is, again, we normally talk of discrimination, we talk of jnana, we talk of how, you know, Brahma Satyam Jagat Mithya. Now, this is one thing to say it intellectually, but if you go back to the life of Ramana Maharshi, there was somebody who shared a very beautiful episode. I believe that somebody had, some person who had didn't have too much of information about Ramana Maharshi had actually written a biography on Ramana Maharshi. And there were a lot of factual errors in the biography. The factual errors were to such an extent that this author had actually mentioned that Ramana Maharshi was actually a grihastha.
Mm-hmm.
That is, he is a householder who got married. No, just imagine. So what happens? He takes this text, and he's done it in good faith. I mean, he didn't know. It was genuine error. He takes this, you know, text of the to-be-published book to none other than Ramana Maharshi and says, Maharshi, can you please vet it? So he goes through the entire book, and including the portion where it's mentioned that he's a grihastha or he's a householder. He goes through the entire book and says, everything is fine. Only thing is the word grihastha, you use the word tha, it's actually tha. I mean, he says, the tha you used is wrong. So he says, okay, I'll change that. Now there was another Swamiji who was standing there, who was a devotee of Ramana Maharshi. He says, no, there's something seriously wrong. This man is going to go and publish it now. So he stops him saying, wait, give me back the book. And takes it back to Ramana Maharshi and says, Maharshi, I mean, what is this? This guy's actually mentioned that you are a grihastha. He says, all this is false. The moment he says, all this is false, I believe Ramana just smiles and says, oh, the rest of it is true, is it? Because for him, everything is Maya. So, see, it's one thing to intellectually say Brahma Satyam Jagat Mithya, to say that the world is an illusion, but it's something very different. So, which means, see, again, this is not something which is a stunt. This is not to impress anybody. It was a genuine faith, or genuine, you know, it was not just, you know, concept understood at the intellectual level, but it had translated into action. It had become a way of life.
Yes.
I think for whether it's for Ramakrishnananda or Ramana Maharshi, it becomes a way of life. So Swami's expectation is very clear.
Yes.
You read all this.
Just add to one, I remember one incident. I don't know if you know, when you were students, one very old devotee of Swami, we always look up to him. Whenever, not look up to him, look for him.
Mm-hmm.
He'll come with nice watermelons and then berries and all. He'll be full, Punjana will be full. Swami will tell, go get it. So all of you will go and get one. If you, I don't know, he remember.
Yeah, I know. I remember the person, very senior person. And they used to say that he is Swami's classmate or Swami's
of
Muruvakonda or something like that.
Yeah, where Swami did his first bhajan.
First
his
bhajan.
From Muruvakonda.
Yeah.
So he was like, a beautiful person. Like he comes means we'll all be very happy. Oh my God, watermelon will come, or yes, some mango will come, or yes, berries will come, something like that.
The fruits of your devotion will all be available.
In concrete form.
Once, like, this I remember that while we were studying, but after that also, once Swami wanted to show what he is actually. So once what happened that he just came, he happened to come and as usual he got the big watermelons and they were all dumped in Poonchandra. We all got them, we were very happy. Swami called him and I was lucky to be just near the interview room door that time. Swami called this senior devotee and told, looking at us, four boys who were sitting in the bhajan hall, told, now I'll show you what is devotion, what is faith. So we were really curious to know what. Then Swami calls him. He used to limp a little bit. He had he was not able to walk properly, very old. Slowly he comes to Swami. Swami waits for him. And then Swami tells, tell me what you want to do. Tell me what is your desire. So he just looks at Swami and tells, Swami, meer eppadi varaku aadistaro appadi varaku ee deham aadutundi ante. Swami, oh, it means till you are going to pull the strings, this puppet will play. Otherwise, it'll stop. So it will really. So when he told really, this old man is so senior devotee, the way he repeated the same sentence, like Swami wanted us to see the intensity in his face. Oh my God, it was like you feel that he is living it when he's talking it. That Swami, when you decide, I'll stop. This thing will stop. Now, till you decide it should continue, it'll continue. So I felt that is what is faith, surrender. I saw it in his eyes that day.
Yes.
That this should be what we should all have. Swami tells very, like it is not that you think and you answer, as we discussed yesterday.
Yes.
Spontaneously. Swami never fixed with him, I'll talk to you and ask you, I'll impress the students and ask.
Yeah.
No. Swami just came out of the interview and told, I'll show you what it is. He calls him, he slowly limps and comes. Swami point blank asks me this question. And out of the blue, spontaneously, like without effort, effortlessly, Swami, this is just a, you pull the string, I live. You remove the strings, I'm over. I come back to you.
So true. It's one thing to, you know, recount Swami's poem, Te 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 Bamma.
Yes.
And, you know, it's one thing to sing that or talk about that in a speech, but one thing to live it. And so, Swami's talking of living models, role models,
yes,
so that you totally become a part of,
yes,
it becomes a way of life.
And just to add, that day, till now we are only enjoying his fruits, what he used to say, but that day we really enjoyed the fruit of his devotion also,
yes,
right? What he is actually.
Yes.
What I felt is that Swami wanted to show it to us, because that it is just bhajan time and all will be sitting in bhajan hall, all will be crammed, Swami comes. He wanted to show everyone that he is not only, why I have blessed him with this giving prasadam to all of,
yes,
you, is not just because of this. He is a sterling devotee.
Yes.
Because of that, I have given this chance to him.
So it's not just the fruits, but you had attained fruition.
Yes.
And if you are someone who has attained that fruit of devotion, you know, who has assimilated that fruit of devotion in your heart, you can become God's instrument to spread sweetness.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, yeah, beautifully spoken.
Yeah.
Correct.
Only then you become God's instrument. You know, then you are wise. Then you are someone who is picked up by Lord to sweeten the lives of others.
Exactly.
So
exactly.
Beautifully put, Bishop. Yes. Correct.
And the other incident that comes to mind, you know, as we're talking about performance appraisal and devotee, is I remember many years ago, Mr. Ramabrahmam was the caretaker of the Vrindavan ashram. Again, someone whose very mention of the name always fills devotees and people who have seen him.
Mm-hmm.
And the students who have interacted with him, just they feel like, you know, raising their hands in salutation because,
yeah,
of the devotion and because of the faith that he had in Bhagwan. So it was one occasion when he gave a wedding card to Bhagwan. It was one of, I think, his granddaughter's wedding or something.
Mm-hmm.
And the family desperately wanted him back home in Andhra. And so there were 15 days still for the occasion. So he gave the card to Swami. Swami asked what it is and he said, Swami, this is the occasion. Swami said, okay. You should go. You should go for this event.
Mm-hmm.
They are all waiting for you. Your grandfather, they all love you. He said, okay, Swami, he said. And so it was 1 week after that. And, you know, there are calls from home, you know, when are you coming? And he said, yeah, we'll see, you know. So he doesn't say anything. And 2 days are left. And still, He has not started his journey. In those days, it would take you, you know, at least 1.5 days to reach. And one more day is left. Still, he has not taken any decision. And on the day of the wedding, that day Swami comes. Swami says, "What, today is the wedding, no? You didn't go?" I told Swami, "If it is really important for me to go, you would have told me before. If you have not told, which means it is not needed for me to go."
Beautiful surrender.
And then Swami called the boys. I told, "He is my true devotee. This is what a true devotee is," Swami said.
Yeah, and to consistently do it across those situations.
Same. Yes. Any vicissitude you get in your life,
yes.
Follow the same faith.
The same faith, yes.
Yeah, because in fact, Swami here says that it should not, you know, be just one part of your, it should spread to all organs.
Yes.
In fact, I think figuratively, I mean, what it seemed like to me is, Swami is saying that it can't be only one sphere of your life.
Yes.
You know, Swami talks of a part-time devotee and a full-time devotee. So, it can't be that you act like this or act in consonance or in resonance to this feeling only in certain parts of your life which is considered spiritual. But then it permeates every single aspect of your life, whether it's the so-called worldly part of your life and the other part of your life.
Yes. Swami, in fact, as I read that line, you know, this wisdom should express itself through your organs, be it hands, legs or eyes. What comes to my mind is that beautiful poem that Swami wrote for all the boys. Oh Lord, take my love and let it flow in fullness of devotion for Thee. Take my hands and let them serve incessantly for Thee.
Yeah.
Take my eyes and let them work incessantly for Thee. You know, take my heart and let them be completely dedicated to Thee. Take my everything and let me become an instrument in the hands of Thee. And so that is what Swami is telling. If you are someone who recognizes that He is the real and He is the only essence of life, then that essence of life should reflect in everything that you do, everything that you are, everything that happens through you. And I think the best example, the most concrete example, and the most wonderful, spectacular example is Hanuman. You know, literally in his every hair, every organ, every hair, he could experience Rama resonating. And he could prove it to the world also.
Even he showed
He showed it to the world when there was, not for exhibition, but just to help the world understand. So that the world does not disrespect his notion of what is devotion. Yeah, I think
maybe it was just a natural expression of a conviction that he had.
Yes.
So
yes.
Maybe he kind of opening up his heart and showing that you know the Lord resides there. It was a natural expression of something which had become the core of his very being.
Yes.
Coming back to our thing, if you know. As students, Swami gave us also a mantra. I don't know if you.
Yes.
I request Brother Balchandra Ramchandran to at least sing that. We have our night prayer which we have.
Yes.
He actually does that. Karacharana Krutamba. When I don't know, Swami has himself told that many times I wait for my boys to sing that and offer everything what they do with every organ to me so that I accept whatever they offer it to me.
Okay.
I request please sing that for us.
Oh, sure, after a long, long time, yes. Karacharan kritamba kayajam karmajamba shravananayanajamba manasamba paradam vihitam avihitam va sarvametatkshamasva jaya jaya karunabdhe shri sai deva shambho shri sai deva shambho. Interesting you mentioned this, brother, because I don't know whether you've... you know, there's actually a part, or the concluding part of another big stotram. which actually leads us into. So the interesting thing is, when I was actually going through this script or this portion of the chapter, especially when we get to 7.2, what is exactly in my mind was the Shiva Manasa Puja. Now, Samayana Swami has got very strange ways of confirming that the idea is not yours. So there's no, apparent reason for, Brother Bhargav to bring up this particular point. It's as though Swami is confirming that, yeah, actually 7.2 is related to Shivanasa Puja.
No, really, when you are talking about Hanuman and this, every body, every part, you should have this, I immediately remembered we all sitting, switching off the night lamps and just sitting and doing that prayer, offering it to Swami.
Yes.
I don't know, that just flashed in your mind.
Yes.
And anyway, he's there to sing for us. So yes. I thought, no problem.
So perhaps, so let's listen to 7.2.
Yes, yes, and yes. Because I think that will take us straight into Shiva Manasa Puja.
Wonderful.
Manan seva cheyutaku kontha bhogamunu kuda anubhavinchavalasi unnadi. Bhogamu kuda yajñamunandali oka bhagame. Shariramanu yantamunaku annamu ane boggunu veyavalenu. Ee aaharamu yajñamu kakapoyinanu yajñamunu siddhimpa cheyutaku idi oka mukhya sadhanam. ఇయ్యది ఉదరపోషణము కాదని యజ్ఞకర్మయే అని తెలిసికొనవలెను. తోటలోని ఒక పుష్పమును తెచ్చి దేవుని తలపై పెట్టినంత మాత్రాన అది పూజ కాదు. ఆ పువ్వులు పూయటకు తోటలో చేయు పరిశ్రమ కూడా పూజయే. శరీరమునకు కావలసిన ఆహారమును ఇచ్చినప్పుడే అది చేయవలసిన పనులు చేయగలదు.
Even as you're doing seva, you're required to experience a little bhoga or enjoyment. Even this bhoga is part of the yajna or sacrifice. For the machine called body, food is the fuel. The food may not be a yajna, but is an important means to fulfill the yajna. One should understand that eating is not udara poshana or filling of the stomach. It is indeed a yajna, an act of sacrifice. It is not worship when you pick up a flower from the garden and place it on the Lord's head. The effort put in the garden for the flower to blossom is also worship. Only when we provide the body with the required food can it perform the needed functions.
Yes, brother. So please share what was coming up even as we were discussing 7.1.
So, see, this is where Swami is, made it very... Swami gave a fantastic, beautiful solution, and I would say a very inclusive solution, if I may use the word. Because if you see, if you're in the world now, if you see a significant portion of the, brethren in the Sai world, the brothers and sisters are in the world. When I say in the world, not everybody has got the opportunity to be in Prashantanilayam, and serve him directly. A lot of us are engaged and in affairs of the world most of the time. And, apparently most of the time the work that you do is for earning a livelihood. It is secular in nature. It's not directly related. It's not Swami's work in the conventionally understood sense. So, one beautiful thing which Swami has done is this. Swami is actually here, Swami is saying that it is not just the actual yajna which is the yajna, but even the preparatory work for the yajna is yajna. He says, okay, so let's say you have to do Swami's work, or what is conventionally understood as Swami's work or seva. Now to do that, first of all, you need a body which is, full of energy, you need a mind which is worry-free, and you need material resources. Even for good work, you need material resources. So somewhere Swami is suggesting that the secular work that you do can also be seen as a means of funding this. And thus, the moment you start looking at it that way, what happens is it ceases to be secular work, or it ceases to be worldly.
Yes.
But Swami also says the critical difference is, how do you view your work? Do you look at it as udara poshana? Or I think Swami used to say for the stomach. Swami used to say putta kuti kosam or something like that. No, something for the stomach. It's not just for the stomach, okay? You don't work just for the stomach. That's something like that. Whatever the little Telugu I understand. And so as long as you say work is not for work's sake, for my career, but you clearly are aware that this is not my main purpose in life, but I'm using this to fund my main purpose in life. The moment that attitude comes, then what happens is it becomes a part of the yajna. So that way, and why I say it's inclusive is thereby, what happens? A lot of us in the world who have this guilt that, I'm not doing Swami's work most of the time. Suddenly now this becomes part of Swami's work.
Yes.
And he's very beautifully done this. Yes. So what it reminds me of is, Shiva Manasa Puja is a beautiful work of Sri Adi Shankaracharya, one of the many beautiful works of Adi Shankaracharya. In the concluding portion of Manasa Puja, as it indicates, is mental worship of the Lord. And Swami has many times spoken about the efficacy of mental worship.
Yes.
In the concluding portions, Adi Shankara actually says, Atmatvam Girija Mati Sahacharaha Pranaha Shariram Griham Pujate Vishayopa Bhogarachana Nidra Samadhi Stitihi Sancharaha Padayoho Pradakshana Vidihi Stotrani Sarva Giro Yadyat Karma Karomi Tatatakilam Shambhutavaradhanam. He says, Pujate Vishayopa Bhogarachana. He says, when I am, you know, when I indulge myself, you know, in the pleasures of the world, whether it's food or whatever it is, and that's the part with Swami, yes, a little bit of bhoga is required. Mm-hmm. He says, oh my Lord, please consider that also as a worship. Yes. Now that is Shankara's request, and Swami's answered that in Premamani Singh, okay, considered. Okay. Considered, that is also a part of puja. It's also Shankara on our behalf, on the behalf of entire humanity, makes a request.
Yes.
And then Swami says, okay, done. And then he's approved it in this document called Premamani. So puja te, he says that when I indulge in the pleasures of the world, may I consider that as your puja or your worship. Puja te vishyopa bhogarachana nidra samadhi stitihi. When I lie down to sleep for the day, my Lord, may that be considered as samadhi. Nidra samadhi sthiti sancharaha padeho pradakshana vidhi. Wherever I walk, like Swami says, whether I walk to the bazaar, whether I walk to the temple, whether I am going around in prashantalyam, wherever I walk, O Lord, may it be your circumambulation, your pradakshina.
Yes.
So sancharaha padeho pradakshana vidhi, and the next line is beautiful. Stotrani sarva giro. He says that all sounds, he doesn't say even words, which means I cough, I sneeze, I praise somebody, I abuse somebody, whatever. Whatever noise emerges from me, and giro is not hill, it's actually giro is sound here.
Mm-hmm.
So stotrani sarva giro, all that may it be your stotra. You know, may it be, you know, hymns uttered in your praise. Yadyat karma karomi tadadagilam shambho tavaradhanam. Whatever action I do, my Lord, may this be considered your worship. And after that he says, Karacharana kritamva kayajam karmajamva. So he's been very clever.
He tells, start from the beginning.
Atmatvam girijamati sahacharaha.
Basically, you are my Atma.
You are
my mind is Mother Parvati.
Yes,
exactly.
Starts like that.
He's taken an anticipatory veil essentially. So, and you know, so he does that and then he says, let all this be work, and then he has the guts, you know, when since you've done all that, very rightfully you say, okay, so thus, Karacharana kritamva, kayajam karmajamva, shravanadayana jamva, whatever I do, because if it's, everything is going to be, if everything is done in a sense of worship to the Lord. So it reminds me in Vrindavan once, brother Swami was saying, I remember Swami speaking to us and Swami said, you know, sometimes, and it was very clear, I felt Swami was not just talking about the audience in front of him. I felt that it was meant for my own mother or, you know, people, you know, the ladies who slog out at home, who many times are not even able to participate in the Sai organization activities.
Yes.
So there Swami was actually saying, see, sometimes when you have to clean a room, wipe a room clean, now I don't do that. So clearly that message is not for me. Except, you know, to get those cleanliness prices which we have to have in the hostel. Otherwise, so he's saying when you clean the room, Shuddham chese samayam lo, Swami said, when you clean, Swami said, you should think that you're actually not cleaning the room, you're actually cleaning your heart. You're cleaning your heart. Similarly, Swami was saying that when you actually, when you spread chapati, you know, Swami's own, Swami's example, he said,
exactly.
I'm actually, Swami said, my heart, no, nenu visaram ches, that is, I'm actually broadening my heart. So beautiful, no? So what Swami's beautifully done is, he spiritualizes the most mundane act, and that's, I think, what Swami has talked about here.
Yes.
Swami has come up with a paragraph which is very, very inclusive. I mean, today we talk of inclusive growth. Now this is inclusive spiritual growth. Swami has brought everybody in, because anybody irrespective of what sphere of life they are in or their background has an opportunity actually to lead a spiritual life, is what Swami seems to say in 7.2.
And that's why he kept that as a night prayer. After you finish everything, offer everything to me, and then just to add to this, I remember it was 2008 or 9, Jan 1st, we have an alumni meet. All of us meet here, and Swami, In his mercy, he gave us a Poonchandra session. All ex-students will gather in Poonchandra auditorium, and Swami will just give a small session. He'll interact, he'll give a discourse.
Yes.
So, in that particular year, I think 2009, Jan 1st it was. So, Swami told, okay, any questions you ask me. So, students were excited. I can directly ask Swami any question I want. So, I remember the same thing what he was telling me. One boy got up and asked the same question. He told Swami, I'm staying in US. I do my work 15 hours a day. I'm not at all getting any time to do anything called a service. What should I do? I don't have anything. How can I be close to you? How can I do spiritual sadhana or work? Same thing. Swami told very, very clearly. He just heard him and told, what is there? Whatever you do, offer it to me.
Yes.
Whatever you think that you're doing it for me. That's enough.
Yes.
But there's a big catch in that. Because basically you're saying, do all work as Swami's work.
Yes.
Now, to do something in Swami's work is extremely difficult. Now, imagine you have to do office work as Swami's work, which means you will actually, for example, if I'm preparing a document, I'll have to actually imagine that the end user of this document is Swami.
Yes.
And if the end user of this document is Swami, what is the perfection with which I would actually have to do it?
Yes.
And, you know, with what feeling? In fact, I think very beautifully you're slowly leading us on to the second, third part where Swami talks about, okay, you do work like this, you should not, you know, have any trace of desire for the fruit, because that's when it becomes Swami's work.
Swami's
work. So there are very strict criteria for something to qualify as Swami's work.
It's a little difficult. It's like when you're really working at a mundane level, not having a fruit, people say, what is this? I have a growth target, I have some targets to meet, okay, I have to do it this way. How can you? It's a very natural question for anyone.
So one thing which, I mean, I don't say it works 100% of the time, but sometimes when I get into this sphere, and I don't claim I do it 100% perfect. One thing I've tried, and I think which is reasonably effective, is whenever, you know, you get disillusioned, you know, you're very upset about a task you have to do, I try to imagine that my managing director of this company is actually Swami.
Yes.
So what happens is, whatever you're doing, whether it's your sales targets or whatever you have to do in terms of your deliverables, suddenly becomes something which is going to be offered to him. So you would actually close your eyes, visualize that at the end of the day, you know, this file is going to be Swami, and then I would imagine Swami is going to open the email and check the document. So then it becomes, you know, at least it helps you to make an attempt, I think, to work towards what Swami envisages in Prema Vahini.
Yeah, coming back to the third point, do it without a desire. I remember one experience. It's like, it's totally different from what we generally think. In 2006 or 7, what happened is, some of the ex-students, they came up with an idea that Puttaparthi is very barren and there is no vegetation around. So
Yes. We'll
ask Swami, we'll request him and start putting some saplings and make it a little more green.
Mm-hmm.
So we went to Swami and he told, okay, you start this work. So what we did is, behind the shopping complex, around it, everything, we started putting the saplings and we started watering them and all that. Swami is very happy with us. And this went on for around 2-3 years. So, this is what is good of Swami. We all knew that we are doing a service, we are doing it for him, and every 2-3 months we'll go and report to Swami, we have done this. Swami, oh, very good, very happy. But we all don't know, but he knows one thing. There used to be a bullock.
Mm-hmm.
We all had a bullock called Saishwar.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
A very, very sattvic bullock.
Mm-hmm.
And a beautiful, no tantrums, he will not throw tantrums. You tell morning 6 o'clock means he'll come, he'll take one cartman, will come with a nice tanker. He'll go around the whole area, right from here till the airport, around near the hospital, wherever you see the saplings, the flowering plants on the dividers,
okay,
and behind, everywhere. He'll just go very, very meticulously, morning 6 o'clock to evening, he'll silently. Like, I saw it and felt, this is what is a silent worker.
This is like a Nandishwar of Trey.
Wow.
In Trey, there used to be a Nandishwar or something. I think we had something similar to that.
This is not, I'll tell you what happened then. So once what happened is somewhere in the month of June, July or something, behind, you know, there's something called the Culvert Gate.
Yes.
We have the back, the West Gate, we call it.
West Gate.
So behind that, we also happened to go, and this bull Saishwar and the cartman was there, and he was just going, and they were watering some plants on either side of the road. So suddenly there was a downpour, a heavy downpour. So what happened, all of us, a very natural reaction. We just, 3-4 of our old students were there, and we just ran for cover. We found a small shed. We ran and stood inside the shed. Even the cartman, the one who takes care of the bullock, he also came. He stood with us in the shed. It was little, maybe 50 meters away or something. And Saishwar was all alone. It was not feeling uneasy. Generally, a cow or a bullock, they feel a little uneasy when there's a rain or something.
Mm-hmm.
Not like a buffalo.
Mm-hmm.
So it was very silently standing there. And this is what is the time when Lord decides to shower something on his devotee. So what happens, at that particular point of time when it's raining and we are all not there, all the unwanted people are gone off, Swami's car comes. From behind. He is going for a round. He has gone for a round.
Wow.
And he comes back from behind.
Culvert gate.
To enter the culvert gate. He sees Saishwar there. Sai means our bullock.
Yes.
So what happens? We are seeing from the far, oh my God, Swami's car. We can't run. It's too far. We will not reach him. So then we are seeing from a distance, we are seeing that Swami's car has stopped near this bullock.
Hmm.
And then we see something happening. We try to see from behind what happens. So Swami lowers his the window, and then we heard it later from the person who was next to Swami what actually happened. He tells, take me near the Vulak. He told the car to stop there, lowered the window, took out three, four toffees, and by this time the cartman runs and comes to him. Give it to Saish, give it to this Bullock, a good boy.
Oh, lovely.
And then goes home.
Yeah.
So when we, by the time we came, anyway, no rain, we came running. By the time we ran, already the beautiful episode was over. Swami already, okay, all of you come, no problem. He silently went off. So we were excited about what happened. So this person told Swami, see, he gave this Vinayat office for Saishwar, for the Bullock, and told he's a good boy.
And he was part of the project for the garden. Yeah, and
He's the main guy.
And we thought we were the. So which means actually, if you go back to this, no, Swami says the yajna is not, you know, not just the offering of the flower.
Yes.
But you know, even the background work done.
Yes.
So and that's where I think Saishwara had done a major role.
He tells us that you do it without a trace of a desire.
Yes.
So I don't think Saishwara had any desire to do. You tell you get up at 6 o'clock, he'll get up. Till 8 o'clock you do in the night, it'll do.
Yeah.
No. What I'm going to gain out of it? What should I get out of it? Nothing. I only think, oh, I did so much of service. What I'll gain out of it? Swami will look at me and Swami will give me something. Saishwar had nothing like that. I think that is the, I felt, is ideal karma yogi in all of us who did.
And one takeaway for us is, especially when there's a project like this in Swami's organization or any work, not all of us may get the opportunity to play a front-end role. So one very comforting thing, if I look at in terms of takeaways, I need not always aspire for a front-end role, because Swami has officially recognized
yes.
that even the ancillary activities,
yes.
which are, you know, which actually support the main activity, would also be considered as, you know, as seva or as a good act.
As long as it is focused
on the objective. Absolutely.
On the objective.
Exactly.
Hands in the society, head in the forest.
Exactly. It's done purely as an act to please the Lord, and purely
yes.
done
yes.
as seva in the spirit Swami intends
yes.
it, you know, to
yes.
please the Lord.
Yes.
So that way, even the ancillary activities will actually
yes.
become spiritual in nature, as
spiritual.
Long as done as an act which will help you further your own evolution, to
yes.
bridge the gap between what you think you are and what you really are, which is Swami.
Yes.
So that gap. I think, brother, I mean, at some point of time during our informal discussion, you were talking about, you know, the Atirudra Yajna and, you know, some wonderful
yeah.
stuff which people had done, you know, which were ancillary.
Yes, I think that perhaps comes in the next paragraph, where
okay.
Bhagavan says, you know, any action done with spiritual intent is a sacrifice.
Hmm.
Yes.
And Swami says, the fulfillment of benefit at three levels accrues as a fruit of the sacrifice.
Hmm.
The power of the sacrifice and the immense multidimensional benefits of a sacrifice, of a yajna. So perhaps let's listen to that.
Yeah, yeah, the audience must be wondering what we're talking about. We've gone to the next paragraph.
Sadhana rupamaina karma kuda yajname. Ee yajnamuni yandu moodu samsthala karma phalitalu siddhinchuchunnavi. Aa seva karyamulalo manam phalapekshanu ye matramu raniyaradu. Elayana phalamunu manavulu modate pondi unnaru. Kana aa runamu manavuni talapai unnadi. ఆ రుణమును తీర్చుకునిటే వాని కర్తవ్యం. యజ్ఞము వలన సృష్టియందు సమత్వము ప్రాప్తించును. దానము వలన సమాజమునందు సమత్వము ఏర్పడును. తపస్సు వలన శరీరంలో సమత్వము సిద్ధించును. ఈ విధంగా మూడు సంస్థల యందును సమత్వమును నెలకొల్పుటకు ఈ కార్యక్రమములు తోడ్పడును.
ఎనీ యాక్షన్ డన్ విత్ స్పిరిచువల్ ఇంటెంట్ ఈజ్ అ యజ్ఞ ఆర్ సాక్రిఫైస్. The fulfillment of benefit at three levels accrues as a fruit of this sacrifice. When doing such service activities, one should never allow even a trace of desire for the fruits of the action, because man has already been blessed with these fruits. So this debt already exists for man. It is his duty to clear this indebtedness. Equality in creation can be achieved through yajna. Through charity, there can be equality in society. Through tapas or penance, there can be equality in one's body. Thus, to establish equality at all the three levels, these activities would be quite helpful.
Oh, in fact, as I was thinking about what Bhargav shared, you know, if you look at yajna, in the literal sense, the yajna that happens here during the Sara, for example, or yajna that happens during the Atirudra Mahayajnam. Swami used to mention how the yajna has so many benefits, and we have literally seen how it would rain during the Dasara Yajnam, yeah. Isn't it? Almost every evening.
Generally.
Every evening there would be a mild, beautiful shower.
Yeah. And Purnahuti will be a downpour.
And you know, and as you do everything as a yajna, you can actually see the reactions which are not only instant, but you can also connect them so beautifully to the harmony in nature. Because you know, this morning I was listening to talk by Mr. Romel, who is a very senior devotee of Bhagwan. He spoke in Vrindavan during the Samarpan session, and he was referring to this tree plantation effort done by the old students, and he said that when they approach the local bodies and asking for their support in this activity of afforestation of the places in and around Puttaparthi, they said, "Sir, please let us not interfere. The old boy Swami's students are doing such fantastic work.
Okay.
It is better we don't step into that." And he said, "For your kind information, the temperature in Puttaparthi, since this effort has started, has come down by 2 degrees.
Oh, beautiful.
He said, "It's a real proof, concrete example of the tremendous work that is done by the old students." And so to me, see, that is the yajna. See, because why it has happened? Because we did it as a yajna. Anything will have the welfare of mankind, will bring us in harmony with nature, because all yajnas are actually for the welfare of mankind, isn't it? And yajna in its true spirit is always for the welfare of mankind. Then you will see the real impact of the real fruit of the yajna happens only when you do the work as a yajna. Because the afforestation was done in a spirit of yajna, you could see this impact of a cleaner and greener Puttaparthi.
And the criteria for it to qualify as a yajna seems to be that it is done selflessly.
Yes.
The sense where you don't expect any result, either direct or incidental.
Yes.
In fact, there was one of those senior devotees, as I, a long time devotee of Bhagwan, who's moved with him very closely, was mentioning this. I had the opportunity to, you know, travel with him from Chennai. He was actually mentioning in passing, and I can see very beautifully, Swami seems to have given us the information required for this session, where he actually said there's a difference between yaga and yajna. Yaga is anything which is done with an intent for a result for myself. So like the Putra Kameshti Yaga, which is performed, you know, when you want progeny, you do. That's a yaga.
Oh, but then done by Dasharatha.
Yes, which is said to have been done by Dasharatha. But then you don't say Atirudra Maha Yaga. You call it Yajna.
Yes.
Or Swami's Veda Purusha Saptaha Jnana Yajna. Yes. Those are all things which are done, and it need not literally be, you know, sacrificial offering in a fire. It could even be an act like, you know, planting trees.
Yes.
So all this can actually be Yajna. Yes. And then it has a result which is instant, and also, yes, I think it correlates beautifully with the natural balance of nature.
Yes. Yes. And here Bhagwan is saying that through charity, there can be equality in society. Actually, I was just reminded of again Atirudra Mahayajnam. Bhagwan had it after many years in Prashantanilayam in 2006, and then it was followed up in 2007 in Chennai. And one of the boys who was distributing prasadam during one of the days when this Atirudra was going on for 11 days, so he saw that someone was tugging his shirt, and when he turned, it was a 60-year-old man, and he asked, "What is it that he wanted?" Because he had already given him prasadam. He said, "No, I want the carton box. The carton box is almost empty." He said, "No, please give me the carton box." And this boy was like, "What do you want the carton box? I mean, if you want one more prasadam, I'll give you." But this, you know, and he sort of didn't pay too much attention. You know, why is the old man asking for a carton box? And so he went on, but that man was insistent, "Please, please give me that carton box." So finally he just gave the carton box, and you know, he picked up one more carton and he started distributing. And after half an hour, as he finished the distribution, then he saw that as he was placing this used carton boxes in the room, on the road there, East Prashanti Road, this 60-year-old man was holding this carton box and going up and down that road. He was picking up the wrappers on the road and collecting them. So he went to him and said, "Sir, why are you doing this? You know, if you want one more prasadam, I will give you, but why are you picking up wrappers? You're so senior." He said, "Swami is conducting such a beautiful yajnam, and yajnam is all about sacrifice. You boys are doing so much service. I was not able to do anything. I thought if at all I can do anything here, that would be my contribution to the sacrifice. And so this beautiful. Is my way of being part of this sacrifice." Another day, when the boys were picking up their slippers after the yajnam, after the evening program, so one boy noticed that in one corner of that slipper stand was this person with a red turban and with his face to the wall, so you could only see his back and he could see the back of his red turban. And you know, many didn't notice. After the mandir session, everybody just picks up their slippers and goes to the hostel. Well, one boy got curious, why is this person sitting there? And he was very quietly sitting there and he seemed to be doing something. And so when this person, boy, went near, then he saw that this person perhaps was a Sikh. He had the turban and he had taken a new napkin and he was cleaning the chappals, cleaning the slippers one by one, whatever was there in the sushtand, and quietly picking them back and, you know, doing his job, keeping them back. And he said, "Sir, why are you doing this? People will just pick up their slippers and go. There is no need." He said, "See, yesterday in the discourse, Swami said that all the boys are like gold. They are all bangaru. They are all golden. And I wanted to do some service which is golden. And I thought the only way, I am not that fortunate to be picked up by Bhagwan to serve like the students are serving. I thought if I can serve those whom Swami considers as gold, then maybe I would have in my own way contributed to this sacrifice." And so he was picking up every slipper as if it was gold and cleaning them. And he said, "This is what, anyway, how does it matter? This is what we used to do. We do in, even in Gurudwara."
Correct.
So I was just reminded when Swami is saying sacrifice, you know, just like when Bhagwan used to say, you should never speak in low words about the yajnam. Because, you know, modern youth often, and the so-called secularists often deride these practices, saying you're wasting ghee, you're wasting precious material, you're just dropping them into the fire, what benefit does it accrue? You know, you could have as well spent that money doing something else. And we have heard Bhagwan explain that, clarify that, saying that, you know, it's as good as saying that when the farmer throws seeds on the field, the farmer is just wasting the seeds, you know. And of course, Swami used to say also that, you know, all these people who say that why so much ghee has been wasted for meaningless purpose. Swami used to say all these people from their childhood, they have drunk pots and pots of ghee. What use has their life done to mankind? Is there anything meaningful that you have done by consuming so much of ghee? And now you see little ghee being used for the yajnam in comparison to how much you have drunk since your childhood, and you have a problem with it because you don't understand the dimensions of it, because we don't understand the harmony, we don't understand the symphony of nature. And to me, you know, it might seem very disjointed. An yajnam is happening there and this old man wants to clean slippers, this another old man wants to serve, but that is how it is. We never know the multidimensional effects. So when Swami says yajnam will confer equality,
Yeah.
Just believe it. Mm. You don't know how it will happen.
He's done all the thinking. So
he's done all the
pipe breaker. But and again, if you go back, these are all ancillary activities which he recognizes as an integral part of yajna.
Yes.
So irrespective of what your competencies are, irrespective of what your skills are, you can always be a part of yajna.
Yes.
Or be a part of the spiritual act.
And okay, here we had literally the yajna, but any activity is an yajna. That's what Swami said.
If done in
food,
the spirit.
Yeah, if done in that spirit of sacrifice.
I'm tempted to just remember one incident.
Sure.
Just decide whether it... I feel that's also a yajna. A cricket match was going on.
Yes.
You know Rahul Dravid, one of our test cricketers who is called the wall.
Yes.
Whenever he's placed, he never... And the innings never collapses.
Yes.
So he was in the commentary box. He told a very profound thing. The co-commentator asked him, one particular test where everything was in crisis, like India was reeling some 7 down or something, and he was on the other end. So he asked him, how are you able to withstand that pressure, everything, and how you are able to come out? And it seems that particular test they won. India won the test. So this co-commentator asked him, what is it that makes you that so special? How you play? So what Rahul Dravid told is really profound. It was like I was thinking, oh, this is something very special. He told, when I go to play in the crease, when I go there, I just shut myself totally off to everything. What, how much you have to achieve, how much is the target, what is the expectations of everyone, and what I am supposed to do. He narrated that I just shut myself off of everything. I only play. I just see the ball which is coming and I play the ball with the merit of it. So when I heard that, I felt that he is actually living in the moment.
Yes.
He is just doing exactly that moment what you are supposed to do.
Yes.
Leaving aside everything else what is there. So where Swami tells that leave the desire, the desire of the fruit of the action.
Yes.
So in this case, I think he is not thinking whether India will win or not win.
Yes.
Oh my God, if I don't perform, whether I lose. I think he doesn't, when he goes there, he just switches himself off from all this unnecessary chatter. He just plays for the sake of playing.
Yes.
I don't know.
Possibly he was not even thinking of whether he'll become the man of the match because of this.
Yes.
Possibly he was not thinking of his ICC ranking.
Yes.
So,
yes.
Just when I don't know, I was just tempted to just
absolutely
remember. Might be this is
absolutely
also a sacrifice.
That is, I think that is when, just like Dharmaraja, you know, when he was asked, why are you following Dharma? You know, when Draupadi asks, what have we gained? Because there have been so many times when they were going through so much of tribulations that, you know, to everyone else it seemed like following the path of Dharma was only following a path of thorns. And Draupadi asks, what have we achieved? But Yudhishthira says, but I am following Dharma because I am following Dharma. Because I can only follow Dharma. There is no other way.
It's my nature to do so.
It's my nature to do so. You know, I think it's the same when we love God also. If we love God because, for any other reason other than because I love God, then you know.
Maybe you pollute that love if you don't. If you just love Him for the sake of loving.
Loving. Exactly.
If you play for the sake of playing, might be that's what.
In fact,
as
you were
sacrifice?
Mentioning about Rahul Dravid, I was reminded of Guru Karaikudi Mani, the great exponent of Mridangam. Now, someone who considers that Mridangam as the divine blessing, the divine God. I mean, it is that God that Swami had given him, and you know, he's because Nandi used to play the Mridangam, and for him it is a divine instrument. And so he said, when I come onto the stage, I never look at how many people are there, who, what is it that I need to achieve in this performance. Nothing. When I come onto the stage, I only think of Swami. I only think of the Divine. And I think how I can offer this next moment to Him.
Yeah.
That's it.
Oh, I know. And Swami brings in a very important caveat here. He says that for all this to qualify as yajna, you will have to do all this without the slightest trace of the result.
Result.
In fact, Swami makes a very interesting point or interesting comment. He says that the fruits have already been given to you.
Yeah, that's
makes
something.
A point. It felt like a prepaid account, you know, where he's basically saying it's already done.
It's already
done. You've been prepaid. The salary has actually been paid in advance. So please, he to me it sounded as though the very opportunity to do a seva is actually a blessing.
Blessing, yes.
So it's not that you're earning merit through seva. You are fortunate and hence you are able to do seva. And yes. By seva, you're actually discharging the debt. And debt. Swami talks about the different rinas.
Correct.
You know, the debts exactly. That mankind has exactly. To fulfill. So maybe I mean, Swami is referring to that.
Just like, you know, we never stop to count our blessings. So ultimately, if you are doing anything, yes. You should never even ask anything because, you know, the amount of work that you have to do just to convey gratitude
to him.
Exactly.
A beautiful example is Gram Seva. I don't know, when Swami started Gram Seva, might be after some time, he gave a very, very clear instruction that it is you who are getting the benefit,
yes.
Not the villagers. And he, I don't know whether you remember, he told whenever you give, you have to say Om Sri Satchidanandaya Namaha and then offer it to the person.
Wow.
So I remember in 2003, 4, 5, 6 initial years and then after that also, we either say Om Sri Sairam, but Swami has very, very explicitly given this instruction that when you offer the prasadam, the clothes and the laddu, the whole thing, you should say Om Sri Satchidanandaya Namaha and then offer. That means I am offering it to the divine, Satchidananda.
And maybe as a result of which, the punya which would accrue from this would not go to you but would go to that central account.
Yes.
Because, you know, even punya, as they say, is a cage, is a golden cage.
Correct.
So what will actually happen is to enjoy that punya, you will be reborn again. And you don't want to be reborn without the Lord around. So that way, you know, the debt is, you don't want, you know, the results to actually come to you. So which means one takeaway or one thing I'll try and take away from this portion of the reading is, since we are focusing on takeaways and specific actionables, is that, you know, it's very easy. Even in the organization, Swami's organization, when you do work, it's very easy to, you know, participate in a seva. And somewhere in the back of your mind, without you realizing, you think, you know, because of this, no, I might actually become the youth coordinator. Or because of this, I might be made the convener. I might be promoted as this.
Yeah.
It's very easy to even, you know, get that whiff of a thought.
Yes.
And I think that's what I think we should, I mean, personally, I would like to guard against.
Yes.
Or you give, you manage to give a good speech on Swami, the talk on Swami. You know, somewhere in the back of your mind, you're hoping that, you know, people will like it and then will admire you.
Yes.
Or you post something on Facebook and then go and quickly check the number of likes which have come. So, you know, it's very natural in a lower sense to do that.
Yes.
So I think that personally, that's one thing one takeaway. I'll try and guard against that.
But is it not difficult being in this thing? Because now everything is social media, how many likes, or what
is this? Yeah, but anything but worth it is difficult. So
anything worth it is difficult. But I think this is a very, very important thing to ruminate on. I know we are running out of time, but I think it is for all of us, dear brothers and sisters, also to ruminate on what Bhagavan is telling here. You know, if you're doing any activity, you know, you're only discharging your debt. So let us not think that, you know, we are doing this to earn merit. Let us not think that, you know, as brother said, you know, it can be something of that nature. Or, you know, many times when you initially become devotees, you start doing stuff because you want something to happen with your son. You want, you know, okay, Swami, for next 1 month, I will go to Mandir. At least my son should get, you know, chance to study in your school. All that happens, you know.
Yeah.
So
He's telling yours, mine is action, yours is reaction. That's all.
Yeah.
I've already done the action.
So anytime if you are doing anything, it should be only done with the attitude of gratitude.
Yeah. Mandir Ganesha himself has got hundreds of undischarged contracts like that.
So I think that attitude of gratitude is what is
very beautiful.
Should be the mantra
attitude
of life.
Gratitude. Very nicely said.
I think that should be the mantra of life. If you are doing anything at any point in time, it is only with the attitude of gratitude. Then you are not expecting anything.
That's a very nice catchword. Attitude of gratitude.
Yeah, I think that is something. And of course, the yajna, Swami says, it can bring equality in society. And let us not, you know, as he said, he has already done all the thinking. So he just go by it. Yeah. Yajna, if he says it brings equality in society, it will bring equality. You just have to believe that. Only your, perhaps if you are tuned to it, you will realize it with time, you know. Then Swami says, and it will bring equality in one's body. That's a whole new concept. What is equality in one's body? But Swami says, yajna will bring equality in one's body. I mean, what comes to my mind from a medicine perspective is the balance of vata, pitta, kapha. You know, vata, pitta, kapha. That is what, because ultimately, if there is balance of vata, pitta, kapha in your body, then there will be balance of satya, raja, tama in your body. And if balance of satya, raja, tama is there, then you are at a stage where you become a yogi.
Correct. True.
And a yogi can easily attain yoga with God, union with God. So, well, I think if only we can focus to do every act as an act of sacrifice, as an act of an undertaking only for Him, only for His pleasure, only for His sake. And I think that would be an adventure worth pursuing. As I say, an idea worth sharing for TED Talks. It is an adventure worth pursuing all our lives.
Calling it adventure is beautiful, actually.
Yeah.
Because it's an adventure.
It's an adventure.
You're trying something which is unknown to you.
Yeah, it's unknown. It's an adventure. It's an exciting adventure, and which can only fill you with bliss.
Bliss, nothing else.
Yeah, and we can literally, I guess, create heaven. And like Brother Bishu likes to put on his mail signature, heaven is not a destination, it is a decision.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, brothers. I know you would only want to continue this discussion. There are so many beautiful thoughts. I pray to Bhagwan that we can meet again as and when He gives us this opportunity for you to come to Prashantalayam. Brother Balram Chandran, Brother Bhargav is here, but so many things have to fall in place for a recording to happen, for a session to happen, and He has to make it happen. So really, thanking Bhagwan, offering our deep sense of gratitude for making this session happen, and to all of you dear listeners for giving us this beautiful chance to share His love and His message. Please do write to us about your adventure, about your journey, about the little efforts that you have made to convert your life into a saga of sacrifice. Let's share, let's hold each other's hands and grow to Him. Let's become one with Him together. Thank you so much. Sarah.